Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us once again. This is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Today on the podcast, it's Remix number 4.
Remix!
Yeah, once again, we're going to be having an episode spotlighting entirely on remixed game music, and we know
Indeed.
And we've mentioned before that that's such a huge scene, and there's so many excellent musicians and remixers out there that, you know, for people doing a video game music podcast, I think it's really important to spend enough time emphasizing that community, because I know
for
they
sure.
may not always get represented on our other episodes, but they are a huge part of game music and game music culture.
Well, it's also, it's worth noting that there's a huge fan base out there of video game remixes, so it's kind of a disservice for us to not at least, you know, pay our dues maybe once a year, try to focus on some of these remixes. So we've been falling a little short of that. This is the fourth installment we've done. But yeah, the podcast has been a little over 4 years, so we're close to that, about once a year. And this is really fun. One of the things that happens when we do these episodes, when you think about trying to find, you know, some of the best video game remixes, which is what we always try to do, what happens is we have a playlist of amazing melodies here. Now, it's not the original versions, but at the end of the day, this is a jam-packed playlist of some of the best video game melodies. So that's always exciting. Anytime you get to play melodies from our favorite series, we're always going to be happy to do that.
Or really any other way of grouping these songs. You know, a lot of the pieces that we're doing today would never fit on any other episode because they're from
right.
completely different types of games, completely different musical genres. But this is a way for us to recontextualize all the stuff we know and love. So I think that's what's really fun about these types of episodes. I'm really excited to just dive into it. Carl, what did we hear playing in?
What you heard playing in was Pokemon Red Battle for the Badge, which is remixing a battle theme from Pokemon Red. And that was by the artist Fishy. And that, as well as I would say the majority of the tracks today, is an OC remix. Anyone who's not familiar, OC Remix is a website dedicated to the art of video game remixes.
Overclocked remix is what OC stands
for. Yeah, so one of the things that we try to do today is we are focusing on current new remixes, kind of showing you guys what has been going on in the world of video game remixes. A lot of these remixes are very, very new. Some even this month, maybe last month, a couple months ago, as well as some older ones and some classic ones. But yeah, trying to stay current as much as possible. So, all right. With that said, let's move on to a track from a really exciting OC Remix album, which came out, I think, this fall. It's called Chronology. And what it is it's a jazz album of Chrono Trigger music, a tribute to Chrono Trigger. And when I heard that, I was like, wow, that sounds right up my alley. And I was really excited to check it out. And they did a really good job. Multiple artists were involved. And in total, we're going to play two of the tracks from this album today. We're going to start off with a track called Trigonometry. And this one is by Triple Point Trio. Let's take a listen to this track, and then maybe we'll talk a little bit about the original and what they did to this piece of music. This is Trigonometry.
Thank you.
guys are listening to Trigonometry from the OC Remix album Chronology, which again is a jazz album of Chrono Trigger music. This is originally composed by Yasunori Mitsuda, and the melody that we hear, it's kind of a combination of different tracks, but we kind of hear the melody we hear in the track Memories of Green. I think it's also included in the title theme of Chrono Trigger. It's all over the game. So let's talk a little bit about how they're taking that melodic material and bringing it new life. What's interesting here is we have to talk about the ensemble. It's primarily led by a vibraphone, so you have the vibes doing the kind of the lead melody, brushes on the drums, and then some bass as well. And it's a really interesting trio sound. Vibes Trio is a very cool kind of a jazz sound that we don't hear every day. It's not the most common type of jazz trio. So, Will, what were your thoughts on maybe the performance and the, maybe just the choice of arranging it this way?
I think it's a really interesting and sort of a bold choice, as you said, Carl. I think just a piano trio would be much more expected, I guess, a piano, bass, and drums. But Vibes definitely adds a different color, and there's something about it that feels sort of attached to the musical world of Chrono Trigger a little bit more than... any other kind of ensemble. If you just have to have a trio, there's something about the vibraphone and just mallet percussion in general that that plays a particular role in that soundtrack already. Maybe not in this specific theme, but there definitely seemed to be a nice fit there. And also, talking about, you mentioned today that we're going to get to focus on some great melodies. I think the nice thing about vibraphone as opposed to piano is really the most you're ever going to have at one time would be four pitches, because some more advanced mallet players tend to really only have two mallets in each hand,
sometimes, the most part,
sometimes only one mallet in each hand, which would mean that you would really only have two pitches at once. But I think what's nice about this arrangement is that it really allows you to focus on that melody line. And there are some of those sort of nice ambient harmonies to go along with it. But because the ensemble is so small, it really allows you to focus on the simplicity of that great Chrono Trigger music.
I think you're totally right. Another interesting thing about the limitations of the vibes as an instrument is you get a lot more glisses and you get a lot more horizontal movement just because they don't have as many fingers as a piano. So because of that, it definitely dictates the performance, and it kind of gives that just that harp-esque kind of a sound is something that we get with all those glisses, and you know, especially when you add the pedal and it has that really nice volume kind of vibrato. It's a really cool sound. We should mention, you guys probably noticed, but there was a cello that was introduced at some point, maybe like halfway through the track, and then, you know, taken away. So a little bit of a cello in here too. But yeah, really cool album. If anyone's interested in the music of Chrono Trigger, or you happen to like jazz, check out Chronology. You can get it on OC Remix for free. All right, let's move on to another OC Remix. This one's cool. This one comes to us, it's a collaboration from Sixto Sounds and Zircon. Zircon, obviously, if anyone's not familiar, he's one of the most prolific and maybe most beloved OC remixers. So he always does a wonderful job. This is a remix from Ninja Turtles 4. This remix is called Subterranean Kamikaze. Let's take a listen. rocking. You guys are listening to Subterranean Kamikaze, OC Remix from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 4, another way that this game is known as Turtles in Time, by Sixto Sounds and Zircon. They did a wonderful job of bringing to life this song. There's a couple examples that happens today and we're going to hear, and it's my favorite thing about video game remixes. It's when they do their job the best is when they take the promise and the spark that was in the original and they fully realize it. They bring it to life in a way that, in my opinion, the original composers probably would have intended to do if they were able to at the time.
Sure.
Just going all out with this rock, really kind of fun 80s rock. It's just, it feels so natural.
But still, yeah, with those synthesizer elements, which sort of keeps one foot attached to kind of the spirit of video games and that whole tradition. And it also
Absolutely.
Just feels fitting because, you know, the Ninja Turtles are such an 80s phenomenon, and grounding it in more of a retro rock sound feels appropriate because that's sort of the musical world of TMNT.
Well, if we focus a little bit on the original track, we've talked about how good of a job they did in their remix. I just always think this is maybe my favorite piece of music, not only in Turtles in Time, but it's one of my favorite pieces of music in the whole series. Something about this is just, it's blood pumping, it feels classic, it's just a great melody, but it also rocks. It has both of those things going for it.
Yeah, it's a very simple chord progression, yet it has a lot of hope, and it feels very inspiring, and I imagine very empowering as a player. I think the sounds for the original game, the arcade version especially, are so intense and exciting and epic. It is a really nice treat to hear a group bringing, like you said, Carl, the promise of that to life. Because to me, when I think of Turtles in Time, I think of all those like orchestra hit samples and those big, gnarly, kind of overblown sounds, and hearing I guess sort of a more modest interpretation of it.
Sure.
It sort of sheds a light on, you know, the musical elements of it. And I think it actually makes me appreciate the song more.
Well, it also makes me appreciate. Yeah, I was just going to say that. It definitely makes me appreciate. I actually went back after I heard this. I was like, oh, yeah, Sewer Surfing. I think that Sewer Surfing is the original, I think. And I went back and listened to it and I was like, man, I really love this track. And I think I always did. But you know, it's just a nice reminder, right? So one shout out I want to give, and I think this will be fun, kind of continuing last week with how we were changing up the track of the week. I had an idea for a day. What if we wait until the end and then we decide together at the end what we think the track of the week is, instead of deciding beforehand?
That's fun.
You up for that,
Will?
We
might be creating a new tradition.
Awesome. Well, let's move on to a remix from a soundtrack that Will and myself absolutely adore, Terranigma for the Super Famicom. Always happy to hear this score get some love. This remix is called Home, and it is again an OC remix. The artist we have here is Rotaka. Let's take a listen to Home. You guys are listening to Home from Terranigma. This is an OC remix by Rotaka, originally composed music by Miyoko Kobayashi, as well as Masanori Hikichi. from Terranigma. And what's interesting about this remix, and not just this, but other ones today, is it's not what you typically think of when you think of video game remixes. I think of kind of dancey, rocking, blood-pumping stuff. This is very soft and subdued. We actually have a lot of those tracks today. I don't know why that is. For some reason, this is maybe the most calm remix playlist. Not to say that we don't have the blood-pumping stuff, but a lot of tracks like this. And I don't know, I think it's a different side. And I'm really happy that remixers are kind of doing stuff like this too. Because again, it's all about the quality of those ballad melodies. And Terranigma has a lot of those wonderful ballads. And this would obviously be inappropriate with anything else than this kind of approach. You know, doing this with metal, why? Why would you even do it? So, you know, a track like this still has a place in the world of OC Remix, and I'm glad.
Well, what I think is cool about remixes is that there's no wrong way to do it. There are so many different approaches.
Right.
I think a lot of people tend to just take melodies as sort of inspiration, and they sort of fit that into the framework of their style and their sound. So they could take something from Zelda, they could take something from Final Fantasy, they could take something from Mega Man, and it could all have the same musical genre as its sort of emphasis.
Definitely true.
Yet, I think some of my favorite remixes are when they
service
sort
the
of
piece.
Stay true to the spirit of the original. And I'd say that's true about this one. It's much more laid back, but it's very fitting if you think of the context of this piece in Terranigma and what it's emotionally trying to get you to feel. This is maybe taking more liberties than, say, like that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle track did in terms of tempo and feel and
everything. Again, doesn't it feel like it's fully realizing the original vision? Well, yeah. I'm really glad you brought up those two different styles, because in my opinion, in recent years, we're starting to get more of the latter and a little bit less of the kind of paint-by-numbers remix. I think there was a long time when anyone thought of video game remixes, it was like dancey stuff, it was rocking stuff.
And a lot of that stuff is really awesome. Like,
sure.
Anything by like Paragon X9.
But what I'm excited is that recently we're starting to see remixers in some ways maybe think a little bit more about what is the original vision maybe of this piece or of this soundtrack, and can we try to capitalize on that? And both are really fun.
Well, and I think also a lot of there are so many interesting remixes taking advantage of vastly different musical genres. There seems to be a lot more of an emphasis on actual players and musicians,
which
on jazz and Latin, and including horn sections.
Well, it's one of the most fun things is you take Super Nintendo music and perform it. And for example, I've never heard this performed before, so it's always exciting to hear that. Now, what we're going to do now, we're going to move on to a remix that, in my opinion, could be a little bit polarizing, maybe a little bit controversial, and I'm really curious to have a discussion with Will after this remix. So this is another OC remix. It's Mario Brothers 3. The name of it is Raccoon Rhapsody. And what it does is it remixes melodies from the Athletic theme as well as the Map 1 theme. This comes to us from Will Rock, who is one of the most popular OC remixers. He consistently does a really good job. So this remix is kind of like a funky, laid-back, jazzy song, but it just happens to use the melodies of Mario 3. So it's in some ways maybe what Will was talking about, the two different styles, very different than the style of remix as we've heard so far. I'm really curious to have a discussion about this one after. Let's take a listen to Raccoon Rhapsody. interesting. Some bold choices, bold liberties taken here. This is Raccoon Rhapsody, OC Remix, from Will Rock. So let's talk about it.
What are your honest opinions
of not just this remix, but maybe this type of remix, taking all these liberties, taking melodies and making it fit into your own style or just a track that you kind of wanted to do? What do you think about it here?
Well, you know, it's interesting. One of the things I've been focusing a lot and learning about this semester is different classical music forms. And one of the things we've spent a lot of time talking about in one of my classes is the subject of theme and variations.
Sure.
And how the goal in a theme and variations piece is really to take a melody that's very identifiable and take it through its paces. So through the subsequent iterations, it becomes more and more obscured, and both the harmonic language, the rhythms, and the way it's supported can feel pretty much like an entirely new piece.
Is that what you think about
this original melody? And this kind of reminds me of that phenomenon a little bit. You know, I mean, I think Will Rock was really wanted to create, you know, an original piece, something funky and groovy and jazzy, and almost just wink at those themes from Super Mario Brothers 3. Just present them in an entirely different context. But to me, it almost doesn't...
There's something charming about it.
It's almost like less of a... Well, it's a remix in a different sense of the word, in that it's taking a slice from Super Mario Brothers 3, but I'd really say it's almost like 90% original material in every aspect.
So because of that, it's not something that maybe threatens you, or it's not something that offends you as a Koji fan?
Yeah, it doesn't feel like it's... Yeah, it doesn't bother me as a fan of that music. It doesn't feel like it's not living up to the potential of that. It's really more like an original piece of music that's quoting Super Mario Brothers. It's kind of an interesting way to think about it. It feels like, and I really love the new melodic ideas that he has. I think are really cool. I love the groove, and I think it's kind of there's something also kind of naughty and sacrilegious about doing this Super Mario Brothers remix with Sega Genesis instruments.
It's just almost like he's breaking all the rules just to kind of like taunt everyone, like, look what I'm doing,
yeah,
which is cool.
Exactly.
And there's one thing that I think is maybe the coolest thing about this is using that dun, 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 in minor,
right,
obviously,
and
from the grassland
harmonized.
it's cool, it's definitely cool. I can't deny that I thought this was cool, but in my opinion, I think this could be a little bit polarizing. I think there's some people who might I don't know, question some of those choices, but I think it's cool. Let's move on. This is a remix that comes to us from Long Box of Chocolate. And this is just his own individual solo album that he put out very recently. And this is cool because this is remixing modern music. Undertale. He made an Undertale remix album called The Lesser Dogs. It's really cool. I think you guys should definitely check it out if you're a fan of Undertale. Long Box of Chocolate. He did a really good job. He was obviously inspired by the music of Undertale, and I think it got his imagination going. So let's take a listen to Prelude, which I believe there's a track in Undertale called Prelude or Intro or something along those lines. So let's take a listen to this from Long Box of Chocolate.
Thank you.
guys are listening to Prelude Undertale Remix from the artist Long Box of Chocolate, and by the way, that's one word, from their album The Lesser Dogs, which is an Undertale album. Really beautiful. Again, makes me appreciate just how pretty and adorable this melody is. This, yeah, Undertale soundtrack, isn't it funny how it already feels like a classic?
Well, it felt like a classic immediately. That was really sort of, I think, the goal of that game. Almost like discovering some old 16-bit gem.
How about that nice harmonized saxophone? Very nice choice.
Yeah, this is a really fun arrangement. And it's, again, it keeps sort of the spirit of that original theme. It's very beautiful. I believe in the game or in the soundtrack, it's called Torel's theme.
Okay.
But yeah, it's... I just love that soundtrack by Toby Fox. That really was sort of the standout game, I guess you could say, of last year.
Isn't that crazy?
And really, definitely the standout soundtrack of the year for me.
I will say he's a fox. He's an absolute fox of music. all right, so let's move on to something rocking. It's been too long, right? We got to rock still today. This is also an OC remix album. And when I saw this, I was super intrigued. It seemed like right up my alley. It's called Mega Man X Maverick Rising, remix album of the Mega Man X series. And not just 1 and 2 and 3, but also all the way up to the PlayStation and PlayStation 2 stuff. Obviously, I gravitated towards the older Super Nintendo stuff, and there's a lot of great tracks that they remix. This is a piece called Bullet Fists of Lightning Fury. It comes to us from Ergo Sonic. And this remixes the Spark Mandrel stage from Mega Man X, as well as the boss theme. Let's rock. Rock. You guys are listening to Bullet Fists of Lightning Fury from Ergo Sonic, from the OC Remix Mega Man X album. And this is a very demanding rock song, the original. It's so shredding, and it's perfect because it's played by computerized samples. When a person tries to play it, it's very demanding. I think it's interesting that this guitarist, he chose not to do those 16th notes every time. Most of the times he wasn't doing that, which is what is the original, because it's so dang hard. It's just not really a realistic way to play that. So it's interesting hearing maybe the limitations of a track that was written for the Super Nintendo. It's tough to play this live, and I think it was definitely a pretty solid attempt at that.
Yeah, I think it's great. And I also feel musically, with the context of an actual performer, I think it's nice not having those blistering rhythms every
sure.
single time. I think it allows you actually to focus on sort of the lyrical aspects of the melody a little bit more.
That's a good point.
And it sings and soars in this version in a way that it never did in the original. Again, I think the best thing a remix can do is actually make you notice things about the original track that you never did before and make you appreciate the music even more than you did originally. I think the danger with some remixes is that they either don't live up to the original or they misrepresent it in some way. I think all the tracks we've played so far today either elevate the original or... in the case of that Super Mario Brothers 3, do something so different with it. It's almost like creating a new piece of art just
for sure.
from the crumbs of a single idea.
It's a cool idea. Well, this would be, we're moving on to my first potential contender, in my opinion, for Track of the Week. I think this is very hip. This comes to us from Nostalvania. That should give you a little hint. He's an OC remixer who did a really awesome remix from Castlevania 1 for the NES. He calls this song Flea Man's Groove, and it's a piano, a jazz piano take on Wicked Child, and really kind of messing with the chords and just kind of, you know, doing like a bold jazz take on this. I think it's really awesome. Let's take a listen to Flea Man's Groove. So far, my favorite of the day. This is Flea Man's Groove from Castlevania, OC remix by Nostalvania. Bang up job. It's the right choice. Taking the theme we love and messing with the chords to make those melodies have a different context and to kind of play with our expectations. One of the things that is so entertaining about video game remixes and any other piece of music or genre can't really claim this is because we know the original. It's just entertaining to see what they do, to see where they surprise us and where they change, and kind of expecting that and having your expectations either being matched or not being matched is actually one of the things that's entertaining about it.
Yeah, absolutely. That chord that I think won both of us over was that wonderful substitution.
Yeah.
That great sort of jazzy chord. On that note, instead of going to the five, it goes to a chord built sort of like a tritone away, and it's this really lush, beautiful moment that I think that's the moment that I imagine for a lot of people wins them over, because the whole beginning and introduction is relatively faithful to the original. I think it takes a while to realize what is going to be added to this version. What's the benefit of having this sort of piano arrangement? Because when I think of the song, I think of it, being this kind of 80s rock sound. And I think it introduces the new harmonies very slowly, and I think that's really tasteful.
I think it's tasteful, and it's also a good choice because what it does is when you first hear it, it kind of sets the bar a little on the low side. Oh, maybe this is just going to be a nice kind of by-the-books piano arrangement, and then he kind of introduces some more surprising choices, and it's not just jazz. He introduces elements of classical music, which shouldn't be surprising for Castlevania, but it just feels like a really fun and thoughtful piano remix. We're gonna have some other piano remixes.
Yeah, you
today,
can tell that there's a love of Castlevania, and there's a love of the original sound.
For sure,
it doesn't have the feeling like you gave, a jazz pianist who's never heard video game music. You gave them, the tune on a chart, mm-hmm. and they're just like playing through it and harmonizing it their own way. There's a real sense of it doesn't sort of feel inauthentic to the original. It doesn't violate anybody's
Absolutely.
Trust. And in fact, it highlights things in a new way that sort of post chorus section.
That was surprising.
Yeah, in the original track, it's harmonized completely different, and then here it's played over these sustained chords, and now they give this sort of like major quality. That's the part I said to Carl. It kind of reminded me of the music from the Charlie Brown cartoons, the Peanuts. Yeah. Cartoons, because it was just there was something so youthful about it, and I really love that, of being able to recontextualize a melody, because I think that's a part of Wicked Child that for me was always sort of overshadowed by everything else. Then
well, Will, would you argue that is contender number one for us to think about later?
It's definitely great. So much of this music is excellent.
Two tracks back to back, because this is a remix from Act Razor, which is also a classical score that kind of has that churchy, very notey Baroque,
very similar to Castlevania.
And what's cool is where this remix, we're having a full rock band, and it's always fun when you have something that demanding and that classical being played with a rock band. It's going to be exciting, and it is exciting, and that shouldn't be surprising, because it comes to us from the wonderful Kirby's Dream Band. Really awesome video game remix band. This is their second album, Pink Cells, and this track is called Act Razor, and it's a wonderful little medley. It starts off with a track that's a ballad in the original game, and they're starting it off with acoustic guitars a la Super Guitar Brothers, and then moving into electric. But once they get into the I can't remember the theme, but the most kind of famous theme from Act Razor, it's such a cool moment. So let's take a listen to Act Razor by Kirby's Dream Band. You guys are listening to Act Razor by Kirby's Dream Band from their album Pink Cells. Oh, I love Kirby's Dream Band. They're just badass.
That is
They just
awesome.
Really kill, you know, these rock arrangements. The polish they have, the musicianship is just, you know, on such a high level.
Yeah, the arrangements are just
maybe
brilliantly done.
Out of any track we've heard before, makes me want to go back and listen to the original. It really makes me realize how amazing the Act Razor, this theme that you're hearing now, is. This is just incredible stuff.
God, yeah, everything. The guitar tones are perfect. I love the drums. That the whole arrangement of that opening was so suspenseful and dramatic.
Right.
It's really the perfect way to package those couple themes from this game.
It's a great way to just do two themes. You do one theme that's more slow to build up the anticipation, and then you rock out. It's just
the other nice thing is, I think Act Razor for a lot of people is a somewhat known entity. Like, people may have be familiar with this theme. But not necessarily something that everyone is really excited about or super familiar with. So what I think is great is starting with a slightly lesser known theme from ActRaiser that also isn't as rhythmically intense, sort of sets the mood, creates this image. And then when you get to that theme, it's this, like, my experience listening to it was like, oh, F yeah. Like, I didn't realize how much I loved that song from ActRaiser until, you know.
Well, I also think it's a great choice that they started to, they once they did the acoustic guitar, they brought in the rock band, did down, dun, dun, God. Like, it really does rock that kind of down tempo, kind of just really heavy, like you're in mud or something. It's just a really cool choice.
Well, that also has kind of like an 80s, or I mean, even late 70s feel to it. Like, it feels kind of like a Queen sort of a thing where you have something seemingly, you know, maybe sparse or with piano. And then when the entire band comes in, and it's just like a really dramatic moment.
Well, folks, shouldn't be a surprise. That might be number two contender. Okay, we'll have to think about it. And a little bit of a shout out. The name of the track from ActRaiser is Filmoa, if anyone is interested. Classic. All right, let's move on to this would be another one for me. I think, Will, you're going to love this. This is called Hoi, Small Fry. It's an OC remix from The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. And this is by Hyper Duck Soundworks. It's a sound team that has composed for games before. I'll find their names after we play this track. But basically, this is a fully performed realization of some Wind Waker music, starting with the title theme, and then I think Ocean, and maybe another one too. So to get to hear that theme with real players, it feels so natural. Like, oh, it's always been this way, hasn't it? It's just really awesome that someone did this. So let's take a listen to Hoi, Small Fry. So great. You guys are listening to Hoi, Small Fry, OC Remix by Hyper Duck Soundworks. And that is comprised of three gentlemen. We have Chris Gihan, Dan Byrne McCullough, and Kevin Carville. Wonderful job, gentlemen. This is so delightful. For a fan of Zelda, this is just like the ultimate fan service. This is, I mean, it's kind of a shame we don't get this whole thing from Nintendo for the HD re-release of Wind Waker.
Right. Man, yeah, this is great. I particularly love when the recorder comes in, because that's an instrument that seems perfect for Wind Waker, because it has this youthful quality. There's just all those connotations of children playing it
humble
in like elementary
too,
school.
Yeah,
and it's also a very it's a very old instrument. It also goes
fairly
along with those kind of
yeah.
Gaelic elements, so that's sort of a perfect choice. Yeah, when Errol's theme comes in, the
Isn't that beautiful how they work that in?
Yeah, it's really nice, and that's the thing that has been done before with these themes from the game, but this is sort of a novel take. It feels sort of 50-50, like it's half trying to realize things from the game in an authentic way, like the voicings of the guitar chords at the beginning feel spot on, yet some of the other instruments they're taking more liberties with, which is a nice way of doing kind of a compilation remix.
It just kind of goes to show that if given the budget, not just Hyperduck Soundworks, but, you know, people that are talented with these arrangements, man, a Wind Waker or Twilight Princess, you know, fully realized score would just be incredibly powerful. These themes are so great, and it is a little bit unfortunate that all we have are those general MIDI versions. So, you know, maybe in the future will be some other re-release or some other reason to do that. But it's always exciting to hear themes that you love done up with real players. Well, all right, let's move on to another piano remix. This comes to us from Brian Roque. And I think on our Remix 1 episode, we played a track of his, a Mega Man track. And this is from that same album. It's called Video Game Piano Arrangements Volume 1. This is from Chrono Cross. He's taking the music of Chrono Cross from, I think, at least one, maybe two tracks. He calls this Dreams of the Shore Near Another World. Chrono Cross has such good music that's definitely very natural to be played on the piano. Let's take a listen to this from Brian Roque. You guys are listening to Dreams of the Shore Near Another World, originally music from Chrono Cross, and this is a remix by Brian Roque from his piano album Video Game Piano Arrangements. Really beautiful. It's cool because I think a lot of the ballads we hear in Chrono Cross have acoustic guitar, and it's not something that maybe piano I would immediately jump to think to do, but it definitely fits really well. He's definitely playing with the melodies and kind of spicing them up in a different way, which is always a good idea, I think. If you're going to do a solo piano arrangement, for the most part, if it's just going to be exactly note for note, it kind of limits how interesting that's going to be.
It's not really much of an arrangement.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, this is really lovely. I also love how, for a piece that I definitely think of as being more of a ballad, he introduces right off the bat this really interesting sort of syncopated rhythmic character. And really playing along with those rhythms.
It's just a really interesting choice. You know, all the pieces on his album kind of have that, where he kind of takes something and goes to places that I definitely wouldn't expect. So I really recommend, guys, this is maybe the most lesser known remixer that we're featuring today. So he needs some love for sure. Check him out on Bandcamp. I wanted to give one shout out is that we kind of made a choice to not really play music from released games today. One reason being that is very soon in the upcoming season, we are going to do a Mario and Sonic episode, so don't worry about that. But in addition to that, I feel like one of the things that's so great about this community is that these are just freelancers. These are just kind of amateurs that happen to be really good and make these wonderful remixes. So we really want to be able to showcase their talent today. So with that being said, let's move on to a track not by an amateur, but it is an OC remix. Collaboration from Tommy Pedrini and Jake Kaufman. Oh, interesting, huh? This is a really epic...
Well, Jake Kaufman, it's important to say he may not be considered an amateur now or really ever, but he did start off as a remixer and came up through this community. So I think it also just goes to show it's not just something that's a peripheral to video games. It really...
Right.
It is... You know, it's part of the same lineage.
Sure. This was released when he was, a professional. But this is a remix from Final Fantasy VI. This is an epic, like, rock opera. Think in terms of Queen, okay, when you're going to listen to this. It's called The Impresario. Again, music from Final Fantasy VI. And this is super epic. It's 8 minutes and 50 seconds. We're not going to have time to play anywhere near all of it. So check this one out on your own, guys. Let's take a listen.
Look into the sins of your past. Love as if today were your last.
Better times have slipped away. I'm lost beneath the waves. Nothing left to save.
Savage crime. It was not yet her time. For whom the tower.
Wonderful. Don't have time to play all of it, obviously, today. Just to give you guys a taste if you haven't heard
Mamma
this before.
Mamma Mia, Mamma Mia.
Yeah. Impresario OC remix by Tommy Pedrini, I believe, singing, as well as Jake Kaufman.
That's so
pretty
great.
Sure Jake Kaufman did most of this arrangement and stuff. He spent a long time on this. Obviously, it's so epic. This is remixing multiple different tracks, one being the opera theme, the aria from Final Fantasy VI, as well as I think the overture and the wedding waltz and maybe another one.
Gosh, this is so awesome.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's really cool. What an original, clever idea. I just think that's great. And a very, you know, it's a bold idea and something that is sort of hard to execute, which is why, I mean, I think that's one of the things that makes it unique. It's one of those ideas like, I mean, yeah, if you're able to achieve that, go ahead. And I think they nailed it. It's awesome. I'm speechless.
Yeah, I'm speechless too, and I think one of the things that's definitely worth mentioning is Jake Kaufman. I think someone said this somewhere online. He's known for kind of really just cranking out music really fast, and he's like a prodigy at that. But he took 6 months to complete this song, so I think that definitely it shows here. So, all right, let's add that to our contention list, and we have to move on to another one that I would add. This is so cool. It's another track from Kirby's Dream Band, their album Pink Cells. And this is really means a lot to me because I remember when I was a kid and I heard this, I always imagined this with a rock band and I kind of filled in the dots in my head. And now we no longer have to do that. This is the Bowser theme from Mario 64. And it sounds so natural with the rock band. So fun. Let's take a listen to this by Kirby's Dream Band.
We'll be right back.
Wow. Again, it makes me just realize how proggy Koji Kondo got in this Bowser theme in Mario 64. This is so rocking. Kind of reminds me of some of the stuff he did, like the Yoshi's final boss was a similar vibe, but they just killed this track.
But it's also like, it's such a perfect melody. It's such a simple, pure...
Yeah, I want to try to focus on, as much as we can, on what the Kirby's guys did this to this remix. I think everything is so just kind of paying reverence to the original. You know, Eric's drumming here is exactly on point, even to the point where he's like playing the ride bells every single quarter note, which is something that the original has. The syncopations are on point. I don't know. This is just a wonderful remix.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just delightful. I mean, it perfectly captures the spirit of the original and it elevates it. You know, the best remixes can hope to achieve that. You know, we got an interesting email sort of talking about this melody and in particular that there's a series of notes that crops up in a few different Koji Kondo pieces, and I thought it's interesting because it's something I don't know if we've talked about on the podcast, but
right.
It's something that
happens.
I've definitely had a conversation with at least Marty about this. In Super Mario 64, you have ya da 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 for this, but then you also have that as kind of Bowser's theme, yeah, at the end, and then when you think of the Mario 3 underwater, even though it's in major, it has that same series of notes. And another thing I noticed in Super Mario Maker, the new piece that Koji Kondo wrote for sort of the Mario 3 Ghost House, the melody goes dun 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 dun.
Well, also Mario Galaxy has that too.
Right.
Doesn't it?
Bum, 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 bum.
Wow, that's interesting.
And then
that's
we also talked about that bum, 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 in Mario Kart. So for whatever reason, that's that sequence
it's
of notes
a good series
is really
of
big
notes.
For the series.
Well, let's move on to a really wonderful and very impressive a cappella remix. That is kind of a facet that you have to kind of spend some time on in an episode like this. So if anyone's not familiar, the most popular and successful a cappella video game remixer, I mean, talk about niche, right? Not only video game music, remix, a cappella, it's such a niche thing, but Smooth McGroove definitely has made a name for himself making tons of really good a cappella remixes. So definitely check him out. I wanted to showcase an artist that's not as well known and doesn't have as many pieces of music up on his YouTube channel, but really awesome job here. The artist here is Seegers. That's Ceegers. He did a killer a cappella remix of, he's calling it the Bramble Medley. It starts off with a Donkey Kong Country 2 theme, Sticker Bush Symphony, and then moves into a Smash Brothers arrangement of that. It's so wonderful the way he's capturing all the kind of phasing, electronic, whooshing wind sounds with his human voice. It's a joy to listen to. It's one of my favorite things we're playing today. Let's take a listen to Bramble Medley a cappella. Bum, bum. Wow. Amazing job, Seegers. This is just incredible. One of the most impressive a cappella remixes I've ever heard, I think. This is Bramble Medley. Pretty soon here, you know, you might be hearing it. He transitions to there's like a Smash Brothers Brawl arrangement that he transitions to. But this is so wonderful how he's able to capture all of those different sounds, and even down to the drum beat sounds pretty you know, familiar. And it's just kind of funny and cute the way that he has to kind of contort his voice and wah, in order to get all those kind of right. Phasing and those volume swells. And he just did an amazing job. I think, you know, Will and myself, we can speak with them with some authority on what it takes to make an a cappella song. It's definitely not an easy task, and this is so impressive.
Well, especially, yeah, one that's meant to capture all of these analog synth elements and all these atmospheric things. I mean, it's one thing just to do vocal percussion, but...
Incredible stuff.
Yeah, this is so excellent. I was just blown away by this.
Me too. One cool thing is going from what we just heard to the next track, and yeah, I think it's safe to say that's another contender on our list, so... Going from what we heard to this next track, it's kind of a palate cleanser, because I would say about this next remix, it's what I think of when I first think of video game remixes. It's dancey, it's groovy, it's fun. It's kind of banking on the power of this powerful riff that everyone knows and loves, and just kind of letting that sink in, and it's just an enjoyable experience. It's Mega Man 2 Acid Flashbacks, which is remixing Flashman, originally composed by Takashi Tataishi. This is by Elrinth as well as PsyNES. Those are the two artists we have here. Let's take a listen to Acid Flashbacks. That's a video game remix through and through. You guys are listening to Acid Flashbacks OC Remix. Music originally from Mega Man 2 for the NES. This is by Elrinth in PsyNES. And man, that riff is one of the all-time great video game riffs. Man, you can just bank on that for a minute and a half and you're going to be on board. And then when they finally go into the A theme... Yeah, it's maybe not challenging us as much as some of these other remixes have, but it feels so dang good. It's a party.
Yeah, man. Holy crud. That is awesome. I love the way it's using the 8-bit instruments and making it feel modern
the triangle
at the same
bass.
Time. Because there is something about those timbres that... are just so associated with this music and I don't know, feel so Mega Man-y. And it's perfect for, you know, techno dance music. So it's just a perfect fit.
It's perfect.
This is the song out of all the Mega Man 2 tracks that I think really lends it to this type of arrangement.
Awesome. Well, this is kind of a choice for Will. Over the years, I know he was so frustrated that there's never been a clean version of the orchestral intro, the opening theme to Smash Bros. Melee. It always has that sound effects, and there has never been any release where we can hear that recording. So what's kind of nice about this is the video game pianist performing that Smash Brothers opening theme on piano. So at least you get to hear a piano version of it. It's a wonderful melody. Let's take a listen to the Super Smash Brothers Melee opening theme remix. So wonderful. You guys are listening to the Smash Brothers Melee opening theme, piano remix performed by the video game pianist. Her real name is Martin Leung, and he is known as the first pianist to get worldwide fame from playing video game music, not just online, but in concert halls all over the world. That video a long time ago before YouTube, if anyone remembers that, Dark Ages, he was the blindfolded pianist who played all the themes of Mario, and it was just so impressive. He has such a good, fast left hand and wonderful, very powerful pianist here. And this is cool to hear this opening theme without those dang sound effects.
Yeah, it's really the piano on his playing especially shines a light on some interesting colors like that.
Yeah.
Really have sort of a lovely quality on
it's
that
lovely,
instrument.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now we're going to move on to a track that challenges us maybe a little bit, but it also feels so dang good that it's hard not to like this. And this is one of my favorites of the day, too. It's really funky. It's incredibly funky. But it's taking something that you might not think of would go well with a funk song, but I think it goes really well. This is called Divinity. It's an OC remix from The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past. It's the Fairy Fountain theme, right, that a lot of us, I'm sure, know of, that wonderfully beautiful chromatic melody that feels like this, you know, this timeless lullaby. Nostalvania, who we heard before with that Castlevania remix. This is him in a very different genre here. Let's take a listen to Divinity. So cool. Very funky stuff. You guys are listening to Divinity OC Remix. Music originally from A Link to the Past. This is by the OC remixer Nostalvania. Very different vibe than his piano Castlevania remix. Really good playing here, not just the keys, the bass, the drums, the guitar. I happen to love this. I think it's a really great idea because it still is really kind of putting that wonderful chromatic progression, that melody, if you want to call it that, in center stage. But it's in a different context. I don't think just because it's a funk, track, I don't think it's losing as much as like that Mario 3 remix where it's like almost unrecognizable. This is very kind of authentic and kind of accurate as far as capturing the notes and the progression. I just think this kind of has everything going for it.
I think there's an aspect of it that's almost like humorous because it's two completely different genres.
I mean, the original piece
is completely like consistent, you know, 16th notes, no rhythmic, you know, no syncopation, no drums. It's just meant to be this angelic, like classical beauty. And so to hear it in this context,
nice drum solo on this.
There's
one too.
A little bit of, I don't know, irony or like tongue in cheek that comes across that I think some people might not enjoy. But I mean, I agree. It does sort of shine a light
it's
on
so cool.
The chord progression, especially.
Well, you know, Will, you know what it reminds me of? I'm not sure if you would agree, Will. It reminds me of like a jazz real book version of like a classic song, like maybe Someday My Prince Will Come, where it's like,
yeah,
oh,
no,
we're kind
exactly,
of having fun with
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like a real book. It totally. Yeah. It's treating that melody as though it's sort of a jazz standard and it's being very liberal with it.
All
and
right.
I think that's something that maybe not everybody has, the taste for.
Sure.
But I think that was nice.
All right, guys. Let's move on to another track from that wonderful Chronology album. This is Dream of Green, 1000 AD. This is by Weisty as well as the OC Jazz Collective. Enjoy. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us today for this surprisingly chill installment of Remix. The fourth time we've done it on the show.
Yeah, that voice almost doesn't necessarily fit for this playlist. It's been a lot of laid back.
No, this would be more
stuff.
Like Remix.
Yeah, radio voices.
This has been a really fun episode, and it's fun to check in with the world of remixes. And it's been a nice thing to force us to do, you know, listening to all this new OC stuff particularly. There's been some great work done, so bang up job all the artists we've showcased today. And, you know, in future episodes, Mercado Radio is another good place. We will do that Mario and Sonic episode, which is some of the best remixes I think I've ever heard. For video games, so there's a lot of great stuff out there. Shoot us an email if you're looking for more stuff. But yeah, hopefully this was a nice way to discover some new remixes for people that are interested in it. So,
well, and it's just I think it's very inspiring just how much of this stuff is from this year or definitely in the last few years.
Sure.
Just shows how active this community is, and this is something that is well known amongst fans of.
And it's cool that
music.
We played a remix from a modern game, Undertale. We're actually playing out with another Undertale remix. This one is from Shara X. Just goes to show how popular that score was. And it has a place in this episode of, you know, stuff from 8-bit, 16-bit, all the way to stuff like Undertale.
There's just so much creativity in this community. And like I said, like we said before, it almost seems like the remix community is growing up in a way and getting more sophisticated and advanced and just in general becoming much more artistically respected, I think. And I think a lot of people that may not necessarily appreciate video game music would have to take notice at just the beauty and the power and just effectiveness of these arrangements and these performances. It really is sort of transcendent, I think.
Absolutely. And we got to mention what we decided while we played that last track was that the track of the week this week is going to be Bowser from Kirby's Dream Band. Tough
That's
to decide,
so
but that was what we both agreed on. Okay, final orders of business here. If you have any questions or comments about anything video game music related, feel free to shoot us an email. You can find our info on our website, supermercadobros.com. We're on Twitter, @MercadoBros, if you want to shout us there. Facebook, we're on iTunes if you want to subscribe or leave us a review. We'd appreciate that. We also have a Patreon page. And with some cool rewards, one of them being you get to pick an episode topic that we'll record. We've done a lot of those so far, and those have always been very successful. So that's a great kind of win-win for everyone. So, all right, guys, we're going to play you out with this great Undertale remix.
Yeah, and next week, just because of the holidays, we're not going to be able to have time to meet up for a podcast. So there's going to be another installment of Mercado Radio, and it should be sort of a fun, wintry, Christmas-themed
holiday-themed one, yeah. Going to be a lot of fun. All right, guys, enjoy this remix. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out.